Please sit down. I love John's Gospel. It's not my favourite Gospel, but it is the one I read first, properly, after an unknown person put it under my door at college. I must admit it took me a few months to pick it up, but once I did, I was intrigued, drawn in, and introduced to Jesus in a whole new way. When John tells us about Jesus, he doesn't start with the Bethlehem shed, or the shepherds, or the wise men. He starts with the beginning of the creation of the world. It's like he's alluding to Genesis 1, the start of the Bible, with the main character being the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And already the way John writes is intriguing, isn't it? Who or what is the Word? On a basic level, I get it straight away. The Word is what is being said, so that I can hear and understand what I wouldn't hear and understand if it wasn't being said. On another level, if I understood my Greek philosophy, I would know that the word which John uses here in the original Greek, logos, also means rationality or way of thinking. And John was probably living the later years of his life in the western coast of Turkey, which in those days was very influenced by the culture of classical Greece. He wrote Revelation on the island of Patmos, just off the shore, to the seven churches of Asia Minor. So it seems that John was there telling the good news of Jesus and addressing all sorts of people within that pagan Greek culture, which was the dominant culture of the Eastern Mediterranean at that time, as well as those with a Jewish background like himself. And as we read John's Gospel over the next few weeks, it's good to remember that John had this sort of two-pronged approach. Good news for Jews, good news for Gentiles, a gospel for everyone, for pagans and for those who believed in one true God. John's gospel is for all sorts of people. Now, back to our question, who is the Word, or what is the Word? Well, if we read through the whole of this introductory section of the gospel, it becomes clear that the Word is Jesus. Because in verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and lived among us," we see John's description of the birth of Jesus. And so if the Word is Jesus, then Jesus is what God wants to say. And if Jesus is the Logos in the Greek, then Jesus is also the one who helps us understand everything else. Jesus makes sense of everything else. Now, John has drawn us in, whether we're Jews or Gentiles, and we start to see more of what he is saying. And we see that he works on different levels at the same time. Excuse me, I think it was Augustine of Hippo who said about John's Gospel, "Deep enough for an elephant to swim, shallow enough for a human to paddle." Let's do the rest of verses 1 to 5. And what I find about John's Gospel is it's best to take your time, grasp each verse before going on to the next. In verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Three clauses all dripping with meaning. And we recognize that this is alluding to Genesis chapter 1, because after all, that's the other part of the Bible that starts in the beginning. In the beginning, God created the universe. We heard in our first reading. Here in John, it's in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. When God created everything in Genesis chapter 1, there is a pattern. And God said, let there be, and there was. It was the Word of God which created the universe. And now John is helping us to not be confused. He's saying that that Word was Jesus. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He's giving the Word a personality. And he's telling us that the Word is Jesus. Jesus is the Creator, and he is God. Now, once you've realized that John is talking about Jesus, this good news is stunning, brilliant, so exciting, because we can know the Creator of the universe, because he was born into our world 2,000 years ago. It's a big claim, and this claim is challenged by some. Many people may want to say that Jesus is not God. I was particularly challenged by somebody who introduced themselves as a Jehovah's Witness on my doorstep a few years ago and started talking about this passage at the beginning of John. And they got their New World Translation of the Scriptures out and said, oh, well, it doesn't say that Jesus is God. It says that he was a God. And so I got my Greek New Testament out and showed him that where the Jehovah's Witnesses version says a God, there's no reason to put a God. It's the God. God. Jesus is God. That's what John wrote. That's what John meant, as is shown by the context of what he is saying. So many people may want to challenge what John says, but he is clear. The Word was God. It's so clear. John does not want us to be confused. God has revealed to us our Creator, the Creator of everything. Verse 2, he was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. So Jesus is the Creator of all, not a part-time creator, but the Creator of everything. He is the source of life and the source of light. And these are other themes which run deep in the beginning of Genesis, that John is picking up again. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. He's the creator of all and the provider for all. In four short verses, John has presented Jesus as the creator of everything, the one who gives life and light to all, and indeed in the next verse, Jesus still at work, The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Now, this has implications for our understanding of the beginnings of everything. Because some people think that the creation of the universe was an impersonal thing, either some sort of impersonal mechanical process, or perhaps started by a God who lit the touch paper of the Big Bang, then stood well back. But John's gospel holds before us a much more satisfying situation. Our universe was created by the one who has come here in person. God is not at arm's length. He has come amongst us. We can know him. God has spoken the world into being, and he has sent the Word to introduce himself so that we can know him. We can know the creator of the universe because he was born to Mary and laid in a manger. God is not silent. He has given us his word. God is not distant. He has made himself vulnerable. What a satisfying thought. Because Jesus is God. It brings meaning to our existence, because then there is so much that we can understand about our universe, about our world, about our own human existence, because we can know our Creator. And God wants us to know our Creator. Here in the introduction to the Gospel of John, the Lord has done the introductions. We take on from verse 6 next Sunday, and it's home group leaders on Wednesday. Let's pray. Lord God and Heavenly Father, thank you for your gospel, your good news. And thank you for John's gospel. Please help us to read and understand. And please help us to proclaim your good news to all as he did. Amen.